It's an exciting record today, isn't it, mate? Because
we're safe and alive, maybe?
Yeah, yeah.
Because we're not being sort of like held hostage in a pub. It was wild last night, mate. What the hell happened?
We went out, didn't we? And then we went to, we won't name the pub, but a pub in London.
Yes, and in South East London, yeah, quite close to the Millwall Football Stadium.
Yeah, it wasn't lovely, was it? We walked in there, right?
Because I've lived in the area for a while, and I just thought, like, this is a pub that I've never been into because, you know, I like pubs, but it just looks like the sort of place where maybe they won't like me.
Also, what hooked me in was a sign out the front saying, like, Lager, £2.99, Guinness, £3.50.
Yeah.
In London, you know, snap your arm off.
Fuck. Yeah, exactly. What's the catch?
So we go in, and it was very clear early on that it was a lot of bold white blokes.
It's a lot of bold white blokes.
And then two dogs sort of running around, scrapping on the floor a bit. They seemed to get the vibe.
Yeah.
And we walked through, ordered our drinks. What made it worse was, I think we walked in, realised, we don't want to be in here, but we're like, we're already in here, so we can't leave straight away. So we ordered half pints.
I know.
Connor went, can we get three halves of Guinness? And it was like, oh, God,
they had our number early on, didn't they?
That don't look good. And then we walked through, and this bloke, didn't he? This bold bloke turned to us and went, literally walking away from our, picked up our half pints, walked away from the bar. And the barman, I think he knew there was trouble. He went, lads, there's a beer garden outside. Go and sit in the beer garden. All right.
Why do we have to sit in the beer garden? Honestly, just go and sit in the beer garden.
Whatever shit, mate. Do we have to, please, mate, sit in the beer garden? Walked back. You literally said, I went, cheers, mate. And this bold bloke at the bar spun around and went, you fucking what?
You fucking what? What did you say to me?
What did you say? We just said cheers, mate, to the barman because he poured us a pint. Right.
Yeah, you bitter head. Right. So we get ushered into this bloody beer garden. It wasn't really a beer garden, was it?
It was a
square concrete area with a wire fence.
A prison yard. Baldy, who's been sat at the bar, he swung into the beer garden now with one of these dogs that was fighting. Clearly a resident dog. You know what I mean? It was obviously nothing to do with us, this dog. His door swung open. He was stood at the doorway with one of the dogs under his arm, which was a bit weird. And he just went, "Whose dog? Whose dog?" A bit like going at football, going, "Heads, whose dog?" And we just turned around.
Bizarre.
Oh, not ours.
Yeah.
Not our dog.
Yeah, yeah. There was a lot of people who had a lot of energy from a lot of cocaine, and I think that's probably the issue, to be honest with you.
But we went to Spoons after that, didn't we? Had a lovely little time, bit of food. And
yeah, tell
pub,
you what, the clientele there was a lot more
classy.
Yeah,
that says a lot, doesn't it?
But you know what, we came out of it unscathed, and we're ready to quiz. Mate, I'm really in the mood for a quiz.
Mate, me too.
I want to ask some questions. Yeah. Oh, nearly jinx each other there.
Do you ever do that school where you both say something at the same time and you go jinxing, jinx, you can't speak now,
and then sometimes you go personal lock.
What does that mean? No, I didn't
jinx
do that.
Personal lock. That means like you can't get out of the jinx then until I say your name three times.
A bit like pinch punch versus no returns.
No returns.
You've added no returns onto it.
We've got a very exciting guest today. I'm looking forward to this one.
Very much looking forward to it.
Who have we got?
It's Lee Pitt.
Lee Pitt, who is just a brilliant stand-up comedian, very funny online, but also like the warm-up for Loose Women, and like Alan Carr's best mate, and just like all of these amazing things that he does and people he hangs out with. I think we're going to have a very show-busy episode.
I hope so, because I love it. As someone who's not too involved in showbiz, or, you know, growing up, never was so far away from it, I love hearing showbiz stories. I love finding the gossip. Yeah, let's do it.
Joining our pub quiz team this week is a comedian who's used to hanging out with the Loose Women, so let's see how he gets on with a couple of uptight blokes. It's Lee Pierce.
Thank you very much.
We're not that uptight.
Yeah, we're not that
uptight. No, we're not that uptight at all.
That was written by our producer, who's clearly trying to get a little dig into us for some reason.
That's always good, isn't it?
Yeah, someone's not had their coffee this morning, Connor. Lee, thank you so much for being here. Yes, you do work on Loose Women. Yes, you are a stand-up. Yes, you are prolific online as well. You're a multi-talented comedian.
I wouldn't say prolific.
You're prolific.
Although I did... It's weird because I was out in Freedom Bar the other day. Sure. For those that don't know, it's a gay bar in Soho. I know, I'm a cliche. and I was getting people coming up to me going, oh, you're from Instagram.
Yeah.
And it gets to a point, I mean, you'll know this, love, but like when you're like, oh, maybe it's weird, isn't it? Mm. Like people are starting to know you from that.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say prolific. I'm not prolific.
As a sort of like proper stand-up comedian, where if someone says, "Oh, you're from Instagram," is that nice, or do you think, "No, so I'm more than that"?
Yeah, I think some comedians would find that the biggest insult. I don't care. I just like being recognised.
we had a lovely moment though yesterday, because usually, I know Liam, you say your demographic is sort of like. Guys in their late 20s, early 30s.
A little bit hipster.
Yeah, we popped in to get a sausage.
Same with mine, I'm very blokey crowd.
We popped in to get a sausage roll from Greg's, and this woman in her 50s who was working at Greg's was like, "I bloody love your stuff, mate." And she got a picture with you, didn't she?
Came out from behind the kiosk.
Didn't get a free sausage roll.
I would see that as the biggest insult. No. Being recognised in Greg's. No,
you do,
do you know I got recognised? Like, when I first did stand-up, so I started doing stand-up like 10 years ago, and it was in Manchester, maybe actually more than that. And we're talking about when people just don't mention, like, you know, Instagram. But I remember I was in Starbucks in Manchester Piccadilly, and this guy goes to me, the barista. He said, "Oh, I saw you at XS Malarkey last week," which is like a comedy night in Manchester. And he was like, "You're a comedian, aren't you?" And I just started in stand-up, so I was like... "Yes, I am." And he was like, "Yeah." And then he goes, "Who was that guy before you? What was his name?" And I said, "Oh, Liam Pickford." And he went, "Oh, he was so funny." And then he was like, "Can I get a name for the order?" And I literally was like, "Oh, no." Like, and I still think about him.
Right. Did you have a weird message the other day of someone messaging you going, you know,
someone messaged me yesterday and said, "Didn't you used to be a teacher before doing comedy? And if so, why did you quit?" And I thought, I'm not Romesh.
Romesh rang.
Hang on a minute. Hang on a minute. What's going on here?
God.
So Lee, you're a very busy man, but do you have time to pub quiz ever?
Always.
Do you really?
Well, actually, no, because
that was quick.
Keeps on top of life. No, I host pub quizzes, so I used to host a regular quiz every month at the Ned Members Club. The Ned?
I don't know.
You know the Ned?
No,
okay, so it's in London.
If Lee was hosting a quiz, it had to be at a members club, didn't it? It couldn't be at the Nag's Head, it had to be at the Ned.
No, it wasn't. It's like really bougie quiz. And so I used to host it every month, and they just like, they booked me and they were like, "Can you host this quiz?" I was like, "Yes, I can host this quiz." Because you know when, like, you know, you just go, "Yeah, I can do that." Mm. And then, you know when you put on like your Spotlight CV, you can ice skate, and then they're like,
yeah.
"Can I ice skate?" Anyway, so I paid someone to write the quizzes for me. Right. But it was more, I don't want to call it a quiz. I think it was more like a game show quiz that I used to call it, because I don't like, no offence, just the like pen and paper reading the questions. Right. I had like fastest fingers first.
I don't know why you said no offence. I know I'm holding a pen and paper. That's not
no,
my whole personality.
You do amazing quizzes. Like, I had the, you know, you buzz in, you take points. It was like it was a thing. Mm. So I'm hoping I'll be all right at the
You would
questions.
Have picked up some general knowledge, but also you'll have a little bit of an insight as to how these quiz masters work. What I'm quite interested, though, is that the fee for that must have been decent enough to be able to outsource the writing of the quiz to someone else and still make a profit. So,
it was.
Lee, we like to ask our guests for the most interesting, fun, unusual fact that they've been carrying around with them of late. Do you have anything for us?
Well, I believe this to be true. Now, I have
always a good start.
I have been told it's slightly dubious, but I think this is a great fact. So, you know, statues.
Familiar.
Have you ever seen a statue? So, you know, when they're on horses.
Oh yeah. Mm.
The fact is, if the horse is someone on a horse, a guy on a horse. Mm. If their two legs are up, the horses, it means they died in battle. Uh-huh. If one leg is up, they died from injuries sustained in battle.
Yeah, got you.
And if both legs are on the ground, they died, but they're a war hero. But they died.
Wow.
That's
what
a really
brilliant
good
little code to be walking around London and seeing one leg up, two legs up.
Yeah. He died in battle.
Yep, he's got all four up.
He died after time. Battle.
That's great, that's brilliant. Where did you pick that up from?
I made it up. No, I can't remember who told me. This was years ago. But then I went on a London tour recently I went like a walking tour around Lambeth.
Yeah.
And I said this to the guy because like I was doing this tour and I don't know what, maybe I'm just like a dick, but I was like, well, of course, you know the fact. Like, I was trying to give him facts that he would use on his tour. And he was like, yes, I have heard that, but it's dubious as to whether it's right or not.
I went on a walking tour around East London with East London, just seeing various cafes, around like the City of London with my mate Julian. We turned up, and just the two of us there on the tour, no one else had turned up, apart from me, my friend Julian, and the tour hostess was like, just gonna wait, I think we've got one more. Oh, there she is. Are you Barbara? You're Barbara, brilliant. And then we were walking along, and then Barbara kept asking questions, which really teed him up for great answers. Excuse me, Anthony, isn't it true that there's something about the passage here that was related to a war? And he said, very good question, Barbara. And it became apparent that he Barbara knew Barbara. Barbara was a mole that he'd asked to come along to make, to pad out the tour.
Yeah.
We're walking along though, which made it even stranger. And there was a there's this old church which is like decrepit now and you know in ruins. And he said this was a church that was frequented by Edward II. Now he died because he was murdered by the clergy with a red hot poker stuck up his bum, and they killed him that way. And then he looked to me and Julian and said, "Anyway, don't get any ideas, you two." What on earth? What on earth? How inappropriate is that? I can believe it. Yeah. As if we thought, oh, that sounds like a good story. Yeah, I'd love to.
Did Barbara laugh?
Barbara, you couldn't shut her up.
She
was like, this is brilliant stuff. He's got your number, and that's so Anthony. He saw you coming a mile off. He's got you.
Yeah.
I love a walking tour.
You've
never done one.
We'll do one. Yeah, I'll take you on one.
Lovely.
Where? I want to come.
Well, let's do one. Have you got a lot on today, by the way?
You can shove something up our arse.
Then we'll go on a walking tour.
Yeah. Lee, do you have a team name for us?
Right, so as a quiz master, I've heard some team names in my life. Mm. And I used to say, because I used to give, actually, bonus points to good team names.
Cool.
But I used to say, don't come up with the things that everyone's heard.
Yeah.
Quizzy Quarteng and all that. I did like...
You haven't heard that.
Have you not heard that?
No. Yeah.
It's Quizzy Quarteng, no. but I like, because, well, I've had a few. I like topical quiz names, but the one that I like, I'm just going to do it, Quiz Tina Aguilera. Have you heard that?
Oh, yeah, I have heard that. Yeah, it's nice. It's a staple, isn't it?
It's a staple. But I also like We Thought This Was Speed Dating.
I like that.
That's nice.
I like that.
That was always quite funny.
Yeah.
But then when I heard it like every month, I was like, I'm not going to give you.
Well, do you know what? We Thought This Was Speed Dating is a brilliant name. I think let's go with it, shall we?
Yeah.
It's in the same world as... I went to New York, but all I got was this damn t-shirt. It's that sort of fact vibe.
Yeah. I'm with stupid.
I'm with stupid.
The guy next to me is gay. I was in Gran Canaria once, I know, shop. And I saw a man buy a t-shirt. And you know what it said on it? And I remember thinking, I still think of him. The t-shirt said, fart loading. And it had a bar which was like 90%. And I remember thinking, I can't do this. Like, we're all tired. Fuck off. I genuinely saw a man buy that t-shirt. Genuinely. Fart loading. I swear to God, and I remember thinking, people buy this shit. Fruit of the Loom, crap.
Oh my god.
Fruit of the Loom.
Oh my god. I sort of want to change the team name to Fart Loading now.
That's my team name.
Let's change it. Fart Loading.
Yeah.
Oh god.
Fart Loading. Liam, did you ever have an FBI female body inspector t-shirt growing up?
No,
Christ
I didn't.
Christ alive, there we are.
I had actually, I remember now as a kid, I had a t-shirt with a tank. And it said, to the pub. I was like, 11. I was like, to the pub. And it was like pointing.
Yeah.
I was left like, what the fuck?
Liam, what do we know about today's quiz?
So today's quizmaster is, I think this is a new one as well. It's not one of our gladiators. It's a new one throwing their hat in the ring.
Okay.
It's James from a home bar in Edinburgh. And he does his quiz at home bar in Edinburgh on Wednesdays at 8 p.m.
Home bar in Edinburgh. Okay, well, we don't know a huge amount about James.
No, but I'm sure we'll find out as we get into the questions.
I used to want to be called James. I wished I was James.
Really?
Why?
I just loved the name.
Yeah.
I think Lee's quite a cool name. I've always thought Lee's quite... I've always sort of... I worry that Lee
is going extinct. You know, like Gary.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you... No, I didn't. We've only met once. But in 2012, I worked the Olympics. I was like...
Discus.
Yeah, yeah. I was like looking after the American athletes during the Olympics. 2012.
Do you guys know the Macarena?
And I remember this woman came in with a pram and she said... I said, oh my God, I said, your baby. I said, what's his name? And she went, Ian. And I went... Ian. And then I went, I-A-M? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, baby Ian. And I think now, like, he's what, 13?
Yeah.
13-year-old
Ian. There's a 13-year-old Ian.
Somewhere
it's not even I-A-I-N, which would give it a bit cooler,
I know,
isn't
it? I-A-I-N, and that's kind of okay.
I get that.
He's my age.
Yeah.
Wow. Ian.
Round one from James is bed and breakfast. Oh, interesting. Does he wonder if he runs a B&B?
Yeah, maybe home bar is a
bed. Might be, yeah.
Maybe.
Okay, I have no idea what it's going to be. Bed and breakfast, let's see what happens. Question number one. Which Channel 4 reality game show involves B&B owners taking turns to stay with one another and pay what they consider a fair... what colour is the sky?
Four in a bed.
Yeah. Four in a bed.
Do you know what? This is good because, and I will say this, as a pub... Quizmaster. The thing about quizzes, you have to have a balance where people think they can win. Mm. Because if they early on go, I'm not going to do this, they're out.
Yeah, I think we're pretty confident with Four in a Bed. Yeah. I mean, if you've ever watched the telly, you should know that one, right?
It's quite a good show because you get a bit of that... They all pay what they think it's worth.
Yeah.
And then they all sit around a table at the end and they go, it was £80 a night. Why is there only 20 quid in it? That's what
you want. But I never want to be one of those people that get into a hotel and go, like...
It's ridiculous. They will pull out a chair, stand on the chair, look on top of a wardrobe and go, is a hair on there?
Yeah.
But as the person hosting that, you know that's going to happen. Yet somehow you've always left a fucking massive pube on the bed.
I think the producer... Producers are
playing. There's a researcher. There's
producer's gone in just before, pulled a pube out.
Who's a pube producer on today's shift? Right, okay.
The exec's going to the runner. Go and put a skid mark on that toilet. Now. You want to work in TV? Shit.
Pebble Dash for Bog.
This is what the business is about.
Pebble Dash for Bog.
Question number two. Bed and Breakfast is a track on which London band's 1979 debut studio album, One Step Beyond? I don't know the song, but I know that One Step Beyond is
Madness.
Madness, right? Yeah. So I would assume that maybe it's Madness.
I had no idea about that.
Question number three. Which James Bond actor starred in the 1992 American romantic comedy film Bed and Breakfast?
I'm just shocked that he's got this many questions about bed and breakfast.
Yeah, like, fair play to him. And why the sort of burning need deep down to be like, we need to do one about bed and breakfast, don't we? Yeah. We need to have a round about bed and breakfast.
The nation is crying out for it. Yeah. So, 1992, but then could he have done it before he got could have James done it before. Bond?
Yeah. I mean... 90s Bond was Pierce Brosnan, wasn't it?
Should we get Pierce Brosnan, if it feels right?
Pierce Brosnan? I mean, was Sean Connery doing rom-coms in the 90s? Yeah, Pierce Brosnan, he was the Bond in the 90s, wasn't he?
Is he your favourite Bond?
I think so, only because he's the one that I was watching when I was sort of growing up.
I never really watched it, but I think mine was Daniel Craig, which I feel is a bit cliche and a bit icky.
They couldn't believe they were going to have a blonde Bond.
Oh, really?
I remember when he was cast, it was like, a blonde Bond, you can't do that, that's crazy.
Do you think Idris Elba next?
Yeah, I think he'd be very good. I think they're going to go for, who's that guy that was in Nowhere Boy? Aaron Taylor, what's his chops?
Johnson.
Yes. Or Andrew Garfield.
I think he's too geeky. But he's like my perfect man, Andrew Garfield. Yeah, because I like a bit of a geek.
You like a geek?
Mm. When he wears his glasses.
Question number four. In dance, what score is nicknamed Bed and Breakfast? He's done it again. You didn't think it would be done, but a fourth question. Bed and breakfast, you're into your darts, Liam.
Yeah, a bit, although I don't know what... Because a 26, I don't know if this is an official term or just what my friend and his dad use, but a dartsman. Dartsman's 26, because you get 20, and then the 5 and the 1 are either side.
I thought you said in dance. Oh.
You think it's scoring dance?
I've worked on Strictly. I was like, I'm just trying to judge it up a bit.
The only bit of a theory, I don't know what you might think to this, but B&B, the B and the B, 88.
Oh, that's very good.
And I suppose 88 is could be a fairly common score.
That is so good.
That's really clever, man.
Do you reckon? I might be wrong.
Question number 5. The Bed and Breakfast Star is a 1994 children's novel by which English author and former children's laureate?
What date?
1994. Lee, you strike me as the only one of the three of us that maybe can read or reads regularly.
Oh, I don't know.
This is tricky. Yeah. I mean, what children's authors can we just name and then we'll pick one?
Jacqueline Wilson.
Jacqueline Wilson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should we go Jacqueline Wilson?
Yes, do it.
Jacqueline Wilson.
So, Lee, I'd really love Early Doors for us to get something we like to call the 5 out of 5 club. Let's see what we can do.
I'm gonna put my neck on the line here and say I don't think we've got it.
Oh, really?
Well, I'm a bit worried about that last question.
That last one, and also, I mean, I know you like your darts, Liam, but...
Yeah. And also, if we don't get full marks in the bed and breakfast round, it's not the worst thing.
We'll sleep easy, we are the losers
if we do.
Question number 1 was 4 in a bed. I think that was just to get us going, really, wasn't it, from James?
Got us excited.
Question number 2, Bed and Breakfast is a song from Madness.
Nice.
2 for 2. Question number 3, the James Bond actor that starred in the rom-com Bed and Breakfast was...
Roger Moore.
Did we put that?
We put Pierce Brosnan.
It was one of the two, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's gone now. But, you know... 2 out of 3. In darts, the score nicknamed Bed and Breakfast. I mean, your reasoning, Liam, was that B&B, 8A, Bed and Breakfast. Yeah. It's 26.
Do you remember I was talking about 26?
It's 26.
The 25 and 1. So 5 and 1 are either side of the 20.
Yeah. I don't really get that.
I don't get why it's called Bed and Breakfast.
I don't get that at all. So if you get a 5, a 20 and a 1 to add to 26, you'll get a Bed and Breakfast. It's interesting, isn't it? Because it doesn't seem like something that would happen often enough that you need to have a name for.
No, but it does. It would happen a lot because of 1 and 5. I've said this about 4 times now. Because of 1 and 5 are either side of the 20 and you're going for the 20, quite often it can stray.
Right.
So it happens quite a lot.
All right, James, I'll give you that one then. And then number 5, the children's laureate we were looking for was Jacqueline Wilson.
There we go.
Well done.
So that takes us to 3 out of 5 on that round.
So at this point during the quiz, I would feel like we've got a chance.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know? I think we've got a chance.
Hold our own.
One thing that I hate in life, right, is I'm not a sore loser, but I hate it when people... Like, you can tell they don't care if they want to win.
Oh, yeah.
You know when, like, the only way I describe it is... I'm going to do this for the audio listeners, but, like, when you're playing a board... Oh, God, I keep spitting.
It's all right. I think I went in my point, that.
But, you know when they roll the dice and they just kind of, like, flaccidly drop the dice?
Oh, that's such a good example.
I'm just like... You know,
Who are you trying to impress?
Pretend you want
just
this,
who are you trying
otherwise,
to impress?
If I win, it doesn't matter.
It's a very similar equivalent of like when you go bowling and someone does they do the bowl and they immediately turn around.
Don't even look.
Hands to either side as if to say, whatever.
Come on. You've paid for this. Like,
Round 2. Is the title of the round is Barefoot.
Right.
Bed and Breakfast and Barefoot.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what James is into at the moment, but I like it.
So, let's find out what's
going
on.
Is he into feet?
Maybe. Question 1 of the Barefoot round. Which man who was known for walking hundreds of miles barefoot was Time Magazine Person of the Year in 1930?
Wow. I think I'm going to hazard a guess at this one that it might be Mahatma Gandhi.
I was going to say Gandhi.
Yeah. I think he walked a lot barefoot.
Yeah.
I think so, maybe.
Yeah.
I didn't realise Time Person of the Year was...
Yeah, that's been going
for ages.
It feels
like quite a modern thing, doesn't it? It feels like a bit of a noughties product. But
1930? Yeah, probably meant... Did it mean more back then?
It would have meant more.
Wasn't Donald Trump a Dime Person of the Year?
I think so.
He might have been once, yeah.
I think Hitler was one as well.
Was he?
Yeah. Question two.
Question two. Which of the Beatles is barefoot on the cover of Abbey Road?
Great question.
Oh, on the zebra crossing?
Yeah. Yes.
Is it George Harrison?
I think it is Paul McCartney because I think that is why people say that he's dead. Don't know why. I don't know what the connection is.
No, but the conspiracy theory.
Yeah, they say that because he wasn't wearing shoes in that picture is a subliminal sign to say...
Wait, I don't know this thing.
Yeah, there's a conspiracy theory that Paul McCartney is dead. He died around the time of the Abbey Road thing when he was in a car crash or something.
Yeah.
And that they gave it away because in this... formation of them walking, one of them was dressed a bit like a funeral, head of a funeral procession, and he was barefoot, which meant he was dead. I don't know.
With stuff like that, I think, like, if you're trying to cover a massive conspiracy like he's died, like, shit, we're going to try and cover this, like, do all you can to cover it.
Yeah, yeah.
Should we just put a subliminal message in?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's not take a risk.
You would totally not talk about it.
There was a clip of Paul McCartney coming out of some, like, hotel the other day, and then behind him was an old man, and then there was this YouTube video, like, circling him, like, look carefully, behind him is a man that could be John Lennon. If it was John Lennon, you were faking your own death. You wouldn't hang out with Paul McCartney and just walk behind him the whole time.
Also, even if you were sort of, you know, you did secretly meet up in hotels and hang out, it needs to be secret, you go, just leave it 5 minutes.
I'll hang back for five minutes.
I'll go first. Let's not walk out together.
Should we do opposite exits? Yeah, do that. Yeah. Barack Obama and Jennifer Aniston.
Oh, yes, I heard they're having an affair, allegedly.
Yeah.
Fuck him.
is there a bit more weight to that one, or is it still...
I think there is a bit of weight to that one. A few people have... I don't know.
It's feasible.
Yeah.
Everything is. Well, I heard Barack Obama and John Lennon.
Imagine.
No, Jake.
Sorry. Next question, thank you.
That'll be the only thing he keeps in. Destroy you.
Question three. Which barefoot title character was the subject of 24 adventure novels published between 1912 and 1966? Which barefoot title character was the subject of 24 adventure novels published between 1912 and 1966?
Tintin? Was he barefoot? I don't think he was he?
Tarzan,
that's interesting.
I don't think he's had 24 novels about him.
He's not had 24 novels, that's interesting, yeah.
Also, a title character as well. I think it could be Tarzan.
Tarzan, yeah, maybe.
Do you think he had some novels about him?
Yeah, I think he probably started as a book and then there was a Disney film a bit later.
And we just don't know.
Yeah, go on then. Whack Tarzan in.
Question number four. Which 2012 Disney animated title character is barefoot for the entire movie?
He does love feet, doesn't he, James?
2012.
Yeah.
Moana.
Oh, is that it?
I don't know.
I think it is. No, Moana, I think, was after 2012.
Yeah, I think so, maybe. I don't know.
Because I used to host a thing called Magical Pride, and it was basically gay pride in Disneyland Paris.
You hosted that?
Yeah, I hosted it. And when Moana first came out, I didn't know, and I was hosting this big event. I said, the winner of the event gets a, like, preview copy of the latest film that was coming out, and I read it, and I said, Mona, because it reads as Mona. And they were like, Moana! Like, they were so angry.
So what year was that?
That would have been something like 2016.
Okay, a bit later.
Yeah, so I think it's not Tangled, is it? Was Tangled 2012?
Tangled.
Oh, like
it could very well be,
I reckon that was around then.
Wait, was she barefoot?
Yeah, well, I think she did travel.
I could see it.
Yeah, but as we've learned from Gandhi earlier, you know, you can travel without any shoes on.
Indeed.
I think that's a bit of a Disney princess thing.
Who is this Disney princess?
Tangled. I think Tangled's a good show. I think Tangled came out
in 2012. I think it's...
I don't think it did, guys. I think
animated title character.
Title character.
I think I saw Tangled with my sixth form girlfriend. I was also sixth form. Gosh. But yeah, when and that would have been 2010. So I think Tangled was 2010.
Okay. And his title character. So
yeah, which helps with the Moana theory. But then Lee obviously was hosting.
Maybe it is Moana. I don't know.
Come on, this is because this is so within reach.
Moana doesn't wear shoes,
and she's a title character.
Maybe let's do Moana, shall we?
Yeah, maybe it was 2012, but I can't remember.
Question 5: 2 points up for grabs.
Here we go.
This is nice. In which two Summer Olympic team sports do players perform barefoot? So a point for each sport. That's a good question.
It's a lovely question. Yeah. In which two Summer Olympic team sports do players perform barefoot?
Team sports.
Is beach volleyball one?
I was going to say volleyball.
I would have thought they would have had shoes on. Maybe not.
Not the beach one.
Not on the sand.
Not on the sand.
No way.
Not on the sand,
guys. Please.
Sorry, excuse me. Shoes off. Not on the sand. Thank
shoes
you.
Off.
Year it's 9.
Some sort of gymnastics.
Gymnastics. Done.
But is that?
That's that bit. I don't. Is that bit? And is that, it's not a team sport, is it? Or is it?
Oh, it's a team. Oh, sport.
Group gymnastics.
Relay. Swimming.
Oh yeah. Yes. Ooh.
You know what, though?
Synchronised swimming.
But are we entering territory of the people who go, they don't wear shoes during swimming?
We absolutely are, but for the first time ever, I'm feeling a bit of empathy towards them. If we go, yeah, synchronised swimming, or like...
Yeah, they might wear a Veruca sock.
That's very true.
Do they perform barefoot? So they definitely don't wear those flippers when they're swimming.
No.
It's barefoot.
Yeah.
And what's the team versions of swimming? Synchronised and relay.
Relay.
So there's two types then.
Is synchronised? Yeah, synchronised swimming is it? Maybe it's not beach volleyball then.
Maybe it's synchronised swimming and it's relay swimming.
I wouldn't be surprised with beach volleyball.
I don't think it would be swimming both.
I don't think you'd do that, James.
I know James very well.
You do, don't you? Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, James from Home House, what's it called? Home Bar,
yeah.
You know, I don't think he would do this to us.
Swimming? Can we just put swimming?
But then if we open the swimming door, then it is...
We know
there's two.
This seems mad that we know of two swimming things that definitely are barefoot, yeah, but with two...
And also, beach volleyball, it's a lot of jumping and leaping.
Is wrestling?
Wrestling's going to be barefoot.
Sumo wrestling.
Judo is going to be barefoot.
Yeah, judo.
Judo would definitely be barefoot. That's a great answer, Lee.
Thank you.
I think, though, we named about four or five different sports.
Should we leave swimming out of it and go judo and beach volleyball?
Yeah.
And just assume that he's not counting swimming as a...
Yeah, so we've gone beach volleyball and judo. So there's 6 points up for grabs in this round. Should we do the answers?
Gosh, mm-hmm. I'm excited for this one.
Here we go. So, Time Person of the Year.
Go on.
In 1930 was Mahatma Gandhi.
Get in.
Yes!
The person barefoot on the cover of Abbey Road, Jake. Great logic with the conspiracy thing.
Thank you so much.
Really good.
I like that fact.
R.I.P. Yeah.
Which barefoot title character was the subject of 24 adventure novels published between 1912 and 1966? We went with Tarzan. It is Tarzan.
Very well done, Liam. 3 for 3.
I'm still thinking about this 2012 and I don't think... Oh, go on.
Go on, Liam. What's on your mind?
I don't know. I'm just trying to think. But I don't think...
You're worried about
this
Moana thing. Yeah.
I don't think it's Moana.
The Disney animated film where the title character is barefoot for the entire movie is... Wreck-It Ralph.
I knew it wasn't Moana.
But do you know what? It's one of those answers where...
That's pathetic.
It's not...
I don't even think that's Disney.
No. We've been told it and it's just like, well, I wouldn't have got it. You know, I wouldn't have got it. I didn't feel upset by that. It wasn't in our running... Yeah.
That has wrecked it for me.
So, it's not going to be a part of that one. Imagine. So, 2 points up for grabs. In which two Summer Olympic team sports... Do players perform barefoot?
What did we say?
We said beach volleyball and judo. Two answers are beach volleyball.
Yeah.
So that's a point. And we're not going to like this.
Oh.
Water polo.
So you're telling me that in judo, and in taekwondo, which I've just remembered as well, all of the swimming, synchronized swimming. I'm sorry, there's so
diving
many
diving teams.
Yep. I'm getting
diving.
A slow
diving.
Although it's not team.
No, yeah,
you can have team diving, synchronized diving.
Yeah.
I'm getting a big nod of the head from producer Connor in the corner. Connor, what are you thinking?
It says team sport. You're on a judo team against the team.
Oh, that's true. Of course, you're not on a team.
Yeah, but what is judo?
Judo, it's like martial arts. But still.
But hang on, swimming relay.
Swimming relay is a team.
Is that not a team sport? Swimming relay.
We're looking at Connor as if he's written the quiz. Yeah. You're not James, are you? You don't have a foot fetish and a B&B.
The end of round two, the barefoot round, we got four.
I'm happy with that.
That's six. That's not bad at all. That's not bad at all. We have a bit of a chat with you, Lee?
Yes, please. Let's have a break from the quizzing and find out about potentially one of our most fascinating guests of all time.
Yeah. God, please.
Well, Lee, it's been a show busy episode because you live a show busy life.
I do. Yeah.
I do. Yeah. I thought you might be sort of like slightly bashful of that.
What was your road into showbiz?
Into comedy.
Well, the two different. I started in stand-up comedy, but then I got spotted at a gig, and they asked me to come and do the loose women warm-up. So that's how it happened. But it was just.
Oh, really? That was through being spotted to do loose women warm-up.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where actually. You think it's one of, like, my mum always goes, well, you know, you could be walking down the street or something, and it doesn't happen anymore. Back in the day, people would be like, you'd walk past someone and go, I'm going to make you a star. Like, it doesn't really happen like that anymore. But someone did see me at a gig and said, come and do Loose Women, and then I covered him on warm-up.
But any listeners who might not know, but if you go to, like, a live show or watch a live recording of something, then there is a warm-up, isn't there, just to sort of...
Mostly, yeah.
So that's what Lee does for Loose Women. So they spotted you from your stand-up. Is there... What is that? Is it... Can all stand-ups do TV warm-up?
No.
Or is it a very specialised niche?
No, and also some TV warm-ups can't do stand-up. So for Loose Women, Loose Women is a completely different, like...
Is it the same audience members that come all the time? Do you
recognize them? There are regulars, yeah.
So are you having to change it up every day?
No. God, no. I used to try and like test out stuff or be like, oh, I'll do new. And then I was like, no, just do what works. Because you're there for the show. You're not there for you. You are there for the show. And the show has to be good. So they don't care if you've smashed it. I mean, if you have, bonus. Mm. But as long as the audience are good for the transmission. It was like Strictly. Like, you'd go out and it doesn't matter if people are laughing at your jokes, but if they're responding during the show and they're whooping and cheering, great. Yeah. But that's all it is.
What was your road into comedy, Lee?
It was an accident, to be honest. So I went to university. I remember going to I didn't get into drama college. And I specifically remember thinking, I went to the University of Salford, and I was like, I'm going to do everything I can. Mm-hmm. So I went to the freshers fair at uni. So you go and you sign up to all the societies. Yeah. So I signed up to everything. And there was a stand-up comedy society. Because Salford Uni is kind of a bit... Peter Kay went there, Jason Manford. Mm-hmm. It's kind of got a bit of a comedy history about it.
Did you do the comedy course?
No, that didn't exist when I went. Okay. It came kind of just as I was leaving. It was Colin Manford, who's a lovely comedian, and he's brother of Jason. He was running it, yeah. And I went to this society. I wrote like 5 minutes of material, and then he like disbanded it. He kind of was like, oh, whatever. But then I had this material. I was like, I want to do it. So I went to an open mic night in Manchester, and it went well. And I always say, if it hadn't have gone well, I wouldn't have done it. Like, yeah. I'm such a quitter.
But then the second, the third, the fourth gig, then that must have been tricky. There must have been ones that early didn't
go well.
So
the first few went really great, and I was like, I can do this. And then when I eventually got to a point where I died, I had evidence to suggest that I was still okay.
The carrot had been dangled then.
Sort of, so I was like, okay, this happens. Whereas if that had happened on the first go, I honestly I would just quit because I am a quitter. Like, and I make no qualms about that. Like, I'm not one of them that's like, no, I'm like, if I'm not enjoying it, I'm done.
Thank God you bloody did it, because I fast forward and I follow Lee on Instagram. If you don't follow Lee on Instagram, you can follow him at...
It's Lee Piat.
Lee Piat. I'm so sorry, but I think we might have said Lee Pert at the start.
Everyone says that, it's fine.
Lee it Piat. Piat. You can follow Lee Piat at Lee Piat, at It's Lee Piat, and you'll see, you're mates with all the loose women now, you hang out with Alan Carr on these fun trips, you've got this wonderful...
Everyone thinks me and Alan are in a relationship, we're not.
Are you
not?
Pod
exclusive.
I thought we were going to get a Pub Quiz Pod exclusive.
No.
Do people think that?
No, we went to Cape Town a couple of months ago. We both had time off, and it was so funny because he was getting recognised. Alan, I will say, is the loveliest man. He's amazing. I love him. And it's so weird because everyone's like, you're like, but we're just mates. And they would come up to him and they would chat and then they would go, well, we'll leave you two to get cozy. And he would go, we're not lovers. Like, he would literally shout at that.
Your impressions are great, by the way.
Really good.
But we're not lovers.
He'd go, we're not lovers. Like, but he's just great. And it is that thing where, you know, like the Catherine Tate thing where it's like, can two gay men not go away? Like,
yeah. It must be like that.
Yeah.
How did you meet?
So we met, we live around the corner from each other, so we're basically drinking buddies.
Yeah.
But we met through friends and obviously through the circuit, and but he's amazing.
Something quite fun I saw on Lee's Instagram was Loosewoman Christmas party.
Oh, God.
You don't think about it, but obviously it's a workplace.
Yeah.
Obviously they need to have a Christmas party. Tell me about that, because I saw some great, great snippets of, like, you guys all at karaoke together, living it up. They good laughs to be hang around with.
Honestly, they're great people. Like, they are just great people. They're a laugh. And it was so funny because Showbiz Clang, I was at Olivia Atwood. She's a loose woman now. We were at her birthday party yesterday, and...
Of course he was.
Cheers. And... we were all dancing, like the loose women lot, and Judy Love was there, and she was like, you know, we were grinding against each other, and I turned at one point and I said, imagine people in the corner going, who are those lot? And then just, you know, we're like basically bumming each other. And I just imagine people going, oh yeah, they work on loose women.
Round three is called colour-coded. Let's see what we get.
Question one. In the UK, what are colour-coded? Blue for dry powder, red for water, cream for foam, and black for carbon dioxide.
What are you talking about?
No idea. In the UK, what are colour-coded? Like this. Blue for dry powder, red equals water, cream equals foam, and black equals carbon dioxide.
Fire extinguisher?
Wow.
Is it?
Lee, that was the sexiest thing you've ever done, and you knew it as well from the smile.
No, it's
a little sippy smile. Yeah, I think.
Fire extinguisher.
And then said, fire extinguisher? I don't know, could be. Yeah, I think you've absolutely...
Is it? Are we definite on that, though? Let's just think about it.
You keep saying, is it, though, Lee? This is our third round. You know how it works now. We do the answers after the questions.
The only one I've not seen is a cream-coloured fire extinguisher.
You've not looked hard enough.
Have you seen them?
I don't think the whole thing is black. I think that maybe there'll be a code on the side.
No, I think it is the colour of them. Because you get red fire extinguishers, you get black fire extinguishers.
You don't get blue fire extinguishers, do you?
No, I know this is what I'm saying. Do we need to talk about it?
I don't know. I can't think of another answer that's better than that.
Yeah, okay.
I really can't.
Yeah, okay.
Question number two. Which indoor sport has colour-coded balls for speed and bounciness? I think I know this one.
Go on.
Squash.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, they've got colour-coded balls.
Have any of you guys got into paddle? That seems to be the latest.
Everyone's doing paddle.
Yeah, I sort of want to have a go at it, but apparently it's very expensive because it's so popular, but because it's so new, there's not many courts.
What is it?
It's a little bit like squash, but a little bit like tennis, and Stormzy loves it.
I was quite good at squash, I remember.
Were you?
Yeah, maybe you'd be good at paddle then.
Apparently it's the same paddle. Are you quite sporty, Lee?
No. No, not really.
You've got biceps to die for.
Thank you.
Yeah, he actually, yeah.
I spotted them as soon as he walked in.
Oh, my God.
I saw your arms before I saw your face.
God, should we just have sex?
It feels like it's going that way.
Doesn't
it make you feel a bit embarrassing at us, like, tensing in the mirror yesterday?
Yeah, we were comparing our muscles and then...
Oh, that's nice.
That's quite good.
It's a small little boiled egg. But compared to this, Lee, please... Wow!
There we go.
It's something to write home about.
That is impressive, but compared to that...
I mean, of course. Question number three. In
1930... I didn't mean that, mate. I didn't mean
to...
Jack's got an allergic reaction to my arm.
He's been stung by a bee.
You've been bitten. Get him an antihistamine.
That's my fucking voice.
In 1931, the English technical draftsman Harry Beck created the colour-coded lines that appear on which map?
Is it in London Underground?
It must be.
Yeah.
The only thing I know about the London Underground, though, is that the nature of how it's sort of formulated is all from an electrician. He said, forget about the distances. The distances are fucking you up, all right? You're going to have stuff like Paddington and Oval and Watford. It's all going to just make it all lopsided. Forget about the distances, have everything equidistant and just have it sort of positioned like that. And that's how they do electrical circuits.
I've heard it took them ages for someone to actually come up with a way that was like readable as a map for the tubes.
Yeah.
Just really
and that's,
no
and that's
idea
because they
it.
Were putting distance, they were trying to account for distances.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Whereas they just did it like an electrical circuit.
You came along and
suddenly, exactly, yeah.
And maybe you've had this on the pod, but that's why... I always like Bakerloo used to be Baker Street to Waterloo, and that's why it's called Bakerloo.
Lee,
that's a bonus fact.
Then they extended it.
Biceps and Bakerloo. Lee Pierce, autobiography coming out soon. Question
B&B.
Hey! Oh, it was worth it after all, James. Question number four. Which television awards were introduced in 1963 and are currently coloured blue, white, silver, green, orange, purple and gold for various categories? Lee Pitt, I'm going to hand over to you for this because we're not going to fucking know.
Is it the back? Wait, say it again.
Which television awards were introduced in 1963 and are currently coloured blue, white, silver, green, orange, purple and gold for the various categories? I mean, how many TV awards are there?
Well,
I bet you've been to the TV Choice Awards before.
I've not been to TV Choice. I've been to NTAs.
I've been to NTAs, yeah.
Oh God!
Have you been to the Soap Awards?
Yes.
Have you really?
Oh my God!
I'm fascinated by the Soap Awards. Please tell me.
Twice.
What are the Soap Awards like?
So I once went to the Soap Awards, and they there must have been a mistake, but they put me in the royal box. And I've never been in a soap in my life. And I literally was like, my friend who's in a soap, she's my best friend, Amy, she's in Emmerdale. She was like, where's Lee? And she looked up and they all looked up. And I was like, morning. Like, it was so weird. Soap awards are great. What happens though is what is really annoying about the soap awards. You go, you have a drinks reception, you get drunk, you go into the theatre, there's no drinks. So I left halfway and went to the pub next door because I was like, once I was drinking, I was I wanted to carry on. And then the after party's fun.
Okay.
Because everyone knows, award shows are boring as fuck unless you're nominated. And once your category's done, it's like...
Yeah.
I went to the Brits this year.
Oh, yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah, that
I did feel a bit silly, though, because, like... So I'd worked on this like spin-off show for the Brits. We got told we got tickets to go to the Brits because of working on the show. I got so excited. I went and bought a new outfit. I thought like I'll be there. Yeah. I'll be in amongst it. I'm just at a gig in the O2, just sat on a seat.
And the O2 is
in this stuff I'd spent loads of money on from COS. Oh gosh, horrific.
At the O2, you know Denise Welch. This is very showbiz, but another
twang. You know Denise Welch. Such a Leaviat sentence. The most Leaviat sentence you can ever imagine.
You know Denise Welch.
Here we go. Please add a couple.
Do you know what? Is that Matty Healy's mum?
Yeah, she's a loose woman.
Exactly,
she's an actor
exactly.
in Waterloo Road. Yeah.
And this is what I was going to say. So I get a text from Denise saying, "You're on the guest list." This is a few years ago for 1975.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Bit of fun.
So we all drive to the O2. We literally drive into like the underground bit where all the scenery docking comes in. The tour manager comes out, ushers us all in. I was like just loving life. I'm with Frankie Bridge, also a loose woman. I'm being very clangy here. I'm so sorry, but no.
Wait, this is great.
So also, do you know what's annoying? Like, I am with these people, like, so, but it's always difficult to go, like, oh, my friend and it, yeah. That means flowers. But, like, anyway, we get ushered into this box. Matty Healy comes out, says hello to us all, blah, 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 blah. And that was when I met Charlie XCX. And I've told you this.
No!
I asked her what she did for a living.
You're joking!
I swear down. I was like, I didn't
You're joking!
Before she got massive, and but she was still like, and I
yeah,
went,
yeah, yeah.
Hello, and they went, oh, this is Charlie. I was like, hi. I was like, so what do you do for a living? And she was like, I'm in music. And I went, oh, good for you. And you know, do you know Christopher Hall?
He could learn a thing or two off his lot.
Chris Hall,
he says his favourite story is that, because he goes, you asked a global pop star what she did for a living. Like, so then I'm in this box watching the 1975 and there's a woman in front of us flailing her arms. And I turned to Frankie, I said, I wish this fucking bitch in front of us would stop flailing her arms so much. Is she a competition winner? And she turned, she said, that's Florence. And I said, from The Machine. And it was Florence Welch, oh who was God. And I was like, who's this bitch? Like, it's so bad. Frankie's like, I think you need to leave.
There was me thinking you were just like instantly out of the womb, cut out for this life, but actually...
God, I don't know. I'm bad. Like,
you have no idea what you're doing.
The thing is, I'm very showbiz, but I'm also from Grimsby. So, like, the mix of the two is quite bad. My friends are like, please stop.
Fucking hell, Lee. Amazing. Question number four. We need to work out these awards. Blue, white, silver, green, orange, purple, and gold.
Oh, shit, yeah, that was
Shall
the question
we set...
that you said about...
And do you know what, guys?
Ago.
It really showcases the beautiful nature of the format, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Shall we say the BAFTAs? I don't think this... I mean,
Wait,
television awards.
Are they different awards in terms of, like, the...
I suppose...
Can I just read it?
I'm going to read it one more time for the listeners. But which television awards were introduced in 1963 and are currently coloured blue... white, silver, green, orange, purple, and gold for the various categories.
But obviously BAFTA isn't just television, is it? It's film as well.
Yeah, so I thought it could have been the TV BAFTAs, but maybe you're right.
NTAs?
NTAs, but I don't think the NTAs were happening in the 60s. They feel so, like, they feel so quintessentially noughties,
oh, yeah.
The NTAs.
Introduced in 63.
I don't think we're going to get this. What should we go for?
Oh, God, I don't know. Oh,
1963.
Sorry. Is it like, oh, very good. Do you know what they should have said? They should have said, which televisual awards were introduced in 1963? Because they are Blue Peter badges.
Oh.
They are Blue Peter badges.
Very
good. You've got your
good.
Blue one, your white one, your kill one. Yeah, Blue Peter badges.
Oh, very. That's a bit of a misleading wording, isn't it? Which television
awards. They should be the televisual awards, not the television awards. I have.
Oh, I tell you what, just take out the word television.
Which awards?
Which awards?
Yeah. I don't want to make anyone jealous, but I have a Blue Peter badge.
Do you?
I have a Blue Peter badge. I wrote I was a runner-up in a book review competition, and I did Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. And I was a runner-up, and I got a book. I got a Blue Peter badge. Gets you in free to a lot of tourist destinations.
What?
Got it when I was 11, and then I remember some family visiting when I was about 23, and my mum brought the Blue Peter badge along to try and get me in for free.
How old are you?
I'm 31.
11, Goblet of Fire.
I mean,
20 years.
Oh shit! Was I weirdly writing about the Goblet of Fire at an older age? No. About 11. Yeah, about 11. Wait, are you? You're younger than me.
Yeah, I'm 34. Yeah, maybe that makes sense. Actually,
you're older than me. I thought you were younger than me.
Did you?
Yeah. I thought you were about 29.
This is gold.
But I'm quite pissed. Yeah, I got a Blue Peter badge that my mum still tries to get me into free to, like, London Zoo.
Well done,
mate. It's quite a thing, isn't it? A Blue Peter badge.
Oh, yeah. Question number five. Which British publishing company was launched in 1935 with its books colour-coded orange for fiction, blue for biography, green for crime fiction, red for drama, and yellow for miscellaneous?
Surely it must be Penguin.
Penguin seems fantastic. Yeah, because all the Penguin novels are in orange, aren't they?
Guys, you think we got a 5 out of 5 on that round?
I really think, Lee, this is our 5 out of 5 round.
Please,
I really do.
Please.
Let's have a look at the answers, shall we? So, question number one. We had no idea. It was asking us that in the UK, what are colour coded? Blue for dry powder, red for water, etc., etc. Lee said fire extinguishers. It was fire extinguishers.
Oh my god.
Incredible answer. Oh, incredible answer from Lee Pitt there. Question number two. The colour coded balls are squash.
Brilliant.
That was you, mate. Well done.
Thank you very much. Question number three. Very well done to all of us. It was the London Underground map.
Yay.
Number four, we somehow got there. Blue, white, silver, green, and many, many more are Blue Peter badges. And number five, Lee, you were straight in here. It was Penguin Books. It's 5 out of 5, everybody. Very well done.
We love a happy ending.
That feels good. We do love a happy ending. Lee, that takes our total score to 12 out of 16.
12 out of 16 is very good.
A really fantastic score.
I'm happy with that.
Yeah. I mean, we'd like to do a few sort of like little reviews and ratings of the quiz at the end.
Yeah. Okay.
In terms of James's quiz, for playability, out of 10, what would you give it?
I'd give it a 7.
Seven. It was easy to understand. He did like his themes, though, didn't he?
Yeah, but I felt like it wasn't. They weren't too pigeonholed. No, it was still a range of stuff just to the very specific theme, which is quite impressive. Really.
I suppose the big question mark is like, what inspired his themes? I mean, we know about the foot fetish, obviously, but the rest of it, we're just a bit unsure about.
Yeah, I'd like James to get in touch. I want to know more about James, which is actually a good thing. Like,
yeah,
his quiz has made me go.
Definitely.
Well, James, we'd love you to send in another quiz.
Yeah,
we want you to become one of our quiz master
radios. We enjoyed it, mate. We really did
enjoy it.
And in terms of out of 10, the range of questions, what would you give it out of 10?
I would give it a strong 9, actually, because I'm like...
Yeah.
Like I said earlier, it was general knowledge.
It was.
Even though it's shrouded in themes.
You were very good, Lee. The fire extinguisher question will stick with me for a long time.
I think that's the only thing that I've probably contributed to.
But it was definitely the standout. And
I will say, I'm fucking fuming about Wreck-It Ralph.
That's
actually annoyed me. Yeah. It's like physically annoyed me because it's just stupid.
And finally, out of 10, this takes into account everything. The quiz, but also the room, the commute, producer Connor behind the controls. The quiz, the company, the hosts. Out of 10, good vibes out of 10. What would you give it, Lee?
10?
Really? We have had a nice time, haven't we?
We have. I've really enjoyed it.
We've really enjoyed it.
I feel bad because I turned up. I'm a little bit hungover, obviously.
You're very fresh face.
Yeah.
Oh, please. Are you joking? My eyes.
No, not at all.
I didn't have any eye drops.
Well, I think we've got time for another pint if you want to stick around.
Yes.
Let's do it. Shall we say a quick thank you to our quizmaster?
Yeah, so thank you to James, who does his quiz at Home Bar in Edinburgh. And his quiz is on Wednesdays at 8 p.m.
James, we really enjoyed it, mate. Thank you so
much.
Please
send in another one. That was a very good quiz.
Let's have another quiz next week, shall we, Liam?
Let's do it.